Gunner, and you're listening to Bobcat Radio 89.9 KTSW.
And thank you, Bryce, for that intro to Bobcat Radio. We're back with more action. We're talking a little World Series action. Last night, the Royals put a pounding on the Giants. In the past few games have actually been blowouts, if you can say such a thing. In baseball, that definitely would qualify. 10-0 victory over the Giants. Jake Peavy looked absolutely terrible. And the rookie, Yordano Ventura, looked incredible. So they're going to go to a Game 7 tonight. Tim Hudson, the 39-year-old, is going to pitch against Jeremy Guthrie. Guthrie's been pretty solid throughout the postseason, so we will see what happens this evening when first pitch is at 7 p.m. But I want to ask you guys really quickly. The World Series, once again, has had really bad ratings, and I'm talking very, very low. And this isn't just an anomaly for this season. This has been happening over the past 10 years, ever since the Red Sox were victorious over St. Louis. We remember that was when they came back in the ALCS against the Yankees. They were down 3-0, and they came back, and they eventually won. They averaged 25 million viewers per game in that 2004 World Series. Ever since then, numbers have been abysmally low, and we're talking in between 10 and 15 million viewers per game. My question for you is, what do you think it's going to take to reinvigorate baseball in America? What is it going to take? I mean, a miracle, or is it going to... What is it going to take?
I can't help you.
Miracle is just one woman.
Stars. Like, I hate to say it because, you know, the thing about sports is, like, the fact that the underdog can compete with these top teams, like, you know, traditionally the Yankees, traditionally the big spenders, but... You know, people just don't want to see the Royals. You know, it's a great story, but that's not going to draw ratings. It's going to be a great story. It's going to be a great movie if they can pull it off. You know, Lord's going to probably do the entire soundtrack. The Giants are the Giants, but they don't have a star. You know, like Felix Bumgarner's been great, but he's not a star. You have the stars of the Dodgers. You have Yasiel Puig. You know, you have the Angels with
Trout,
and so you have stars elsewhere, but they're not making it this far, and that's going to be, you know, whether they love or hate the star, that doesn't matter. People, that's why the NBA ratings have gone up. People hate and love LeBron James. They want to see him win and lose. They want to see the Spurs made up of Tim Duncan and things like that. Yeah. And
you need to have polarizing figures,
exactly.
Basically.
And even in the NFL, like parody is rampant in the NFL, but still you have Peyton Manning making it. Russell Wilson's become a star. You know, you have guys like that. Even a few years ago with, you know, Eli Manning became a star shortly, but he became a star. And, he became a star for a while. And so I think the lack of star power right now is really hurting Major League Baseball. And just the star power that's not getting exposed on this stage. It's getting exposed because Yasiel Puig will be around for a while. Trout will be around for a while. Harper will be around for a while. But they're not making this level. And that's, you know, you can't tell teams to lose. You know, you can't tell the Giants to stop winning. But that is going to hurt the ratings.
I agree with you about the stars, but I think it goes a little bit further than that. I think American stars is really big, too.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Because the American people, obviously, we appreciate a lot of foreign players, whether they're from Cuba or Dominican or wherever, or, you know, some parts of Asia and whatnot. But we really gravitate more towards American stars. And I think it's a big reason why San Antonio Spurs haven't been extremely popular, because they have a lot of foreign players who Americans can't relate to as much as a LeBron or whomever you want to throw out there. You look at the 90s, back when baseball was, you know, relatively big and you had marketable stars. Griffey, very marketable. Frank Thomas, somewhat Barry Bonds, you know, back in the day before he was juicing a whole lot. Very marketable. Sosa.
Steroids was a big player.
Steroids was a big player, too. Steroids was a big player, too. And you know, the supplements definitely helped out. But, you know, the baseball doesn't do a good job of marketing Trout, Kershaw, Bumgarner. Andrew McCutchen is an up-and-coming, you know, very young player.
Kershaw was the best. You know, despite his postseason collapse, he was the best pitcher in baseball. And, you know, people outside of the people who like to watch baseball, you're like, who's Clayton Kershaw? Like, this guy's he's throwing heat every night, and he should be known.
For me, it's simple. It's too long. The baseball is just too long. I think, you know, and what's funny is that you brought this question up. I was actually talking about this with some of my friends. I told them baseball is just too long, and some of them play baseball, and, you know, they're going to disagree. That's fine. There's no storyline. I mean, just think about the time frame. February, Super Bowl, okay? March Madness, then boom, right there is baseball. Now, baseball goes, they have their time to themselves. They should stop in August and playoffs start in September. Because now what they do is that they have in August, they go through September. Well, guess what starts happening in August? NFL preseason. Then you start having college football, which now is it's going to be a $1 billion sport because of the way it's going. Then you have that clashing with baseball. By the time November comes, I mean, you're
dealing. Too much competition.
Now,
it is.
Look what happened Tuesday. NBA open season. I mean, it's just too long. You can't market a sport for 162 games, then take another 2 to 3 months playing postseason ball. It's too long. They got to cut it down. Because I agree with the stars thing. American stars, and I gotta say this too, African Americans do not play baseball anymore.
So yeah, like, I mean, that's 6% or some extremely low percentage.
I mean,
right
you
now.
You mentioned
yeah.
Andrew McCutchen. Yeah. I mean, back then you had a lot of black stars in baseball as well, and I think that plays a factor into it too, because baseball used to be one of those sports that, you know, African Americans would gravitate towards. To
yeah, Hank Aaron, yep, you had all kinds
Barry
of big
Bonds, Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn. You had Bob Gibbs. I mean, you had some of the greats playing baseball. Now they gravitate towards football and basketball. Baseball is boring too. I mean, people don't like to hear it, but it's true. I mean, it's 9 innings, it's stretched out. You don't know what you're going to get. It takes more skill than athletic ability. The way our generation is wired, we want things on the fast and on the go.
Yeah.
Baseball is just too much. I mean, yeah. I know it's an intimate sport. I do like baseball sometimes, but there's a reason why our generation isn't latched onto it, and I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. But for me personally, I just think the scheduling is bad. The start of the season doesn't correlate well. The ending of the season, it's just a lose-lose for baseball.
Yeah, and they're working on trying to speed it up, you know, with the pitch count, as far as having a pitch clock or whatever you want to call it. Batters can't, you know, step out of the box and adjust themselves 35 times and then go back into the box.
Yeah.
I mean, things along those lines, which I think will help, but I think it's just kind of a temporary remedy for the situation.
I think the nature of the game kind of is what's going to hurt them in the long run, because, you know, what Otis was saying, you know, it's a lot more about thinking, you know, it's not like reactionary, because you'll see basketball, you'll see guys that just have a feel for the game, you know, LeBron, even some guys that aren't as good as LeBron, like J.R. Smith, like he can just play the game. When he wants to, he can just play the game. You can't just play baseball. Like, you have to, you know, the athletes are going to be the pinch runners, and the pinch runners have to have good timing. They have to have good precise decision making, when to go, when to not go. You have to psych out the pitcher. Like, there's so many things that go into something as simple as pinch running that you can't just play the game. You know, hitting a baseball is one of the hardest things to do in sports.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that, you know, that's why people get on to Barry Bonds. You know, sure, steroids, whatever, but he could hit the ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that a good percentage of Americans, people in the world, can't do, is hit a baseball thrown at 90-plus.
And with the home run numbers down, like Otis said earlier, you know, back in the steroid era, home runs were going out, and fans loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, whether they were cheating or not, fans absolutely loved it.
People
and fans in the back of their mind probably knew they were cheating, but they didn't care.
People were swimming in the lakes trying to get the ball.
The thing is that baseball is a hypocrite, because baseball knew that they were doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. They knew exactly. It's what saved baseball when they came out of the strike, and it was the steroids and the HGH that was helping Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa save baseball. Now for baseball not to have their backs, to me, is just really hypocritical. And the boring thing isn't to throw shade or to hate on baseball. Ask baseball players. They'll tell you themselves, baseball is a boring sport, because you're standing there, you're thinking, it's methodical, there's not a lot of movement or action. So, you know, they got to change the schedule. I just think they got to change the schedule. You got to cut. I think you got to take like 62 games out, make it a 100-game season or something, because it's just not working for them right now.
Yeah, the American attention span has definitely dwindled. You look back at the 1986, and I know we're going way, way back, but 1986, the Mets, when they won over the Red Sox, remember, we've probably seen videos of Bill Buckner going between his legs, yada, yada. They averaged 36 million viewers back then, and look how much smaller of a population we had back then compared to today.
Wow, yeah.
Unbelievable numbers. So I agree. Attention span has definitely gone down, and we will see what the ratings are like tonight. As I mentioned before, the game is at 7 p.m. Tonight is Game 7. All right, moving on to college football talk, a little national talk, as a matter of fact. And a lot of people probably saw the rankings that were put out last night for the first time by the playoff committee, the 12-person playoff committee, sans Archie Manning. And number 1 through 4, I'll just quickly read through them, and then I want to find out everybody's opinion on these rankings. Number 1 would be Mississippi State, no shocker, they're 7-0. Florida State, number 2, they're 7-0 as well. Auburn is 6-1, and then the third SEC West team, Ole Miss, is 7-1. So, Did they get it right so far? Did they get it wrong? Does it even matter because it's still so early? What do we think?
Oh, they got it right. I'm only saying that because last week I said two Mississippi and the two Alabama teams. I think Alabama's, what, six?
Yeah.
And check this out. Alabama still has to play, I believe, Mississippi State, and they still have to play, obviously, Auburn. So, you know, that's going to be interesting. The thing about this whole playoff situation for me personally is two conferences are going to get left out. I think the Big 12 and I think the Big 10 are going to get left out because I think if Florida State should run the table in the ACC. But with this coming out – and I think there's going to be a team somewhere there. I don't know if it's Oregon. I don't know if it's TCU. I don't know who it is, although TCU's in the Big 12. Somebody's going to get in there that everyone's going to be like, what in the world? Because they really – I really do think that they look at the teams. They don't even care about the rest of the rankings. They're really looking at this like, okay, what have you done?
Quality of wins.
I think it's eye test. Yeah. I think this is just simply eye test. I don't think they're – factoring any computers. I don't think the rankings matter. I don't even think it matters where you even play at home. I think they're looking at the records and they're looking at seeing who's doing what in these games. And when the season's over, it's going to be really fun. It'll be really fun, I'll tell you that much.
There'll be a lot of debate. I mean, we thought there was a lot of debate with the BCS. Wait till, you know, we only have four teams getting in the playoff. There's going to be still a lot of debate this year as well.
Yeah, I think they got it right this first time. We'll see after the pandemonium that shakes up because, you know, Auburn plays Ole Miss this weekend.
Yeah.
And then we have, you know, Alabama has to play the rest of their division. And then you have, you know, TCU waiting in the wings, Michigan State, Kansas State, Notre Dame, Georgia, Arizona, Baylor. Like, you have all these teams just waiting, like, seething at the mouth. Oregon, who I thought probably was going to – I think they're going to drop one more, but even if they drop one more, because of the SEC West, you know, playing each other out.
Not the SEC, the SEC West.
Yeah, not just one the division. One division is going to knock each other out. And then Michigan State probably going to run the table in the Big Ten. You know, I thought Oregon would have a chance in there, but if they win one, if they drop one more game, they could be out for good because there's so many good one-loss teams that have, that should save. I mean, Arizona, you know, they're number 12, and they're 6-1.
Ish is proud of that.
I am proud of that. Okay, really,
took the Thursday night game. I remember that.
That was the game I picked. Oregon. And so Arizona could be like, hey, Oregon dropped another, you know, to Stanford or whoever. They could be like, hey, we beat them. We should probably jump Oregon and have a shot at this playoff. So I think Otis is right. That one team in this probably, I'm trying to look where the one loss team stop. 17 is where the one loss team stop. And so it's
Utah, right?
Yeah, 5, excuse me. Oregon at 5, all the way to 17 at Utah.
If Utah makes a playoff,
we might want to call the BCS up.
Urban Dyer's not walking through that door anytime soon.
No, let's call the BCS
not. Back
up.
Neither is Alex Smith. I mean, they're not walking through that door anytime soon.
I have a question,
soon.
Though. So, okay, in y'all's opinion, if, let's say, Ole Miss is at number 4, and they're playing Auburn, who's at 3.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss beats Auburn. Now, I understand Auburn has 2 losses. Okay?
Tough.
But, I mean, how do you knock down Auburn all the way back down to, say, 18?
I don't think you knock them down that far. I think that's where, you know, okay, they'll finally look at SEC, but I think they will drop probably outside of the top 10 or 11. Because you have another – 11's Georgia, which is an SEC team, so they'll be like, oh, Georgia, you know, SEC bumped them up. And I think Auburn might drop, but I don't think you can drop them all the way that far.
Yeah, and the two losses obviously would be saying a lot compared to other teams that have one loss. But
yeah,
you look at Auburn, they smashed LSU, which was a good win, don't get me wrong. They beat K-State. That was the best non-conference game, non-conference win that's taken place. Other than that, they haven't done anything besides, and I shouldn't say they haven't done anything, but those two wins were good. They got blown out by Mississippi State. We know Mississippi State is number 1 in the country, but Auburn still has some work to do. They definitely do. Definitely still has some work to do.
I mean, me and Otis said it last week. It was going to be the state of Alabama versus the state of Mississippi. And you look at the rankings now, Florida State is that sneak in there. And y'all know I had a problem with Florida State last week. But somehow they made it. And they'll probably stay there because they really don't have any competition left. They're in the ACC. Let's not forget that. So that's laughable.
And that's even – and you know what's funny is that's the one team that I think should be 4. I think strength of schedule is –
everything.
If you don't play people, and they can't help who's in their conference. Yeah. I completely understand that. Like that, you can't always fault them for that. But, man, they almost lost to NC State. NC State should have beat them. Notre Dame, They had that call. I'm sorry, Ish. They had the one call. They should have two. They should have two losses. It's going to tick a lot of people off because Florida State is going to skate by playing in the ACC.
And they're also skating by based on what they did last year.
Yeah.
Which I think is completely ridiculous. And I think to a small degree, that's what the pollsters and that's what the playoff. I don't know about the playoff committee yet. That's what the pollsters in the past have done with the ACC. They use a lot of what they've done in the past to carry over into the season, and obviously they're really good, but I think they inflate their value a little bit more than they need to inflate it, if that makes sense.
I think that with now that it's a human panel rather than elaborate arithmetic that goes it, because I remember that one segment, I remember ESPN or somebody did a special on the BCS computers, and I thought I was in high school calculus.
Yeah,
because there was a lot of numbers, a lot of symbols, letters came into the equation. I was like, that's
no, he's
too much.
Right. That equation was ridiculous.
And so, like, I think now that you have humans in place of computers, you're gonna have the eye test. You're gonna have memory. You know, like people are like, hey, Florida State hasn't lost in a year. So like, which I'm on that. Honestly, I'm on that bandwagon. They're the defending champions, and until somebody knocks them off, I feel that they deserve to be there. But I do see where you guys are coming from, where, you know, that's kind of an issue with human discussion and human decision-making, is that, you know, they don't take in. I know that there was even an article that came out that there are some statistics that are thrown out. Like, they're not allowed to take, like, some advanced statistics into account you know, that's, I don't know, whatever. But that was part of the BCS arithmetic. So they were like, you know what, we're not going to take that into account. And some really good and telling advanced stats were taken off the table because they just didn't want them there. And so that's probably, that is, the eye test is both good and bad, because you're going to have that memory. It's like, oh, you know, Kansas State's historically been good, so let's put them in the top 10, even though they might not be up there.
You know what's funny is, and that human element that you're talking about, is the SEC weaker, or is it just that competitive?
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that they're going to have to figure out, too, because some may argue that the East is what's bringing that. I mean, Missouri lost to Indiana. No offense, Hoosiers, but come on.
Basketball.
Ty Gurley's coming back to Georgia November 15th. They announced Ty Gurley's coming back.
Yeah.
But it might be a little bit too late. Who knows?
Yeah,
we'll see.
So that to me, that's another human component that I think they're going to have to struggle with. Is the SEC weak, or is it that competitive? And is the SEC West strong enough to solidify that statement of, well, the SEC is just that competitive? Because the East right now with Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee, I mean, you're thinking the SEC West should just break off and just create their own conference. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way they've been playing football. So college playoff football, eventually, they're going to have to make it 8 teams. I just don't see how you can keep it at 4, because that team that's going to be sitting at number 5 at the end, people are going to be complaining a lot.
Yeah, number 4 and number 5, when it's all said and done, are probably going to be really, really close, like really close, like splitting hairs. And for me, I see Ole Miss, and a lot of people would disagree, I see them as a little overrated at number 4. I think they should drop down one or two spots, not below Alabama, because they beat Alabama. But look, who have they beaten? They beat Alabama, which was a big win for Ole Miss. Other than that, they lost to LSU, which no gripe there, because LSU is a solid team. These are the other teams they've beaten: Ole Miss, Boise, Louisiana Lafayette, Vanderbilt, Memphis, A&M, who obviously
they're bad.
Tennessee, who is no good this year. Those are their wins. Okay, that's pretty much it. Only Alabama. So in my opinion, I would see Oregon jumping in at number 4. They beat Michigan State, number 8, Michigan State, solid win, even though it was at home. They demolished number 22, UCLA, on the road at UCLA. They obviously barely lost to Arizona, number 12, and they're, you know, Arizona's pretty solid, sitting in number 12. And then they pounded Washington and Cal, and both of those are, none of those are world beaters by any means, but they absolutely annihilated them. So, in my opinion, I would say Oregon should be number 4. And then it should go down to Ole Miss, number 5. Bama, in my opinion, is also a little overrated. Their best win is number 20, West Virginia. West Virginia's solid, but they're not a top-tier team by any means. They lost to Ole Miss. Bama, this is who they've beaten: A&M, Tennessee, Florida Atlantic, University of Florida, and Arkansas.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. So a lot of people, man, that's a SEC, and I don't want to say the B word, bias, but, you know, I'm just going to throw it out there. I think the strength of schedule, these teams are getting away with it. These SEC teams have cupcake schedules in non-conference, and they get away with it.
I'll tell you what messed up so many teams, whether it propelled them, you know, to an unbelievable height like South Carolina or something, or, you know, demolished their record. A&M being this bad. Because A&M was the ninth. They were, I believe they were 16th, and they jumped up to nine. And then Mississippi State throttled them. And then Alabama throttled them. And then they just got ran through. And it was awful. Like, they were this bad.
Nice.
They were bad. They were bad. And that messed up so many teams because it gave a team, like, don't get me wrong, Mississippi State looks like the best team in the country, but after that A&M win, they were like, oh, like, Mississippi State, like, shoot them in the top three, you know, immediately. And now it's like, now we can see that wasn't premature, but at the time, you're like, whoa, let's see how good A&M is. And then, sure enough, A&M's not that good. Then the Alabama blowout, it's 80 to negative two. Like, I don't know what A&M scored, but nothing. But that was like, oh, Alabama's back, you know. But no, that's A&M's just really bad this season. And I think I'm gonna throw the B word out there: bias. I think bias put A&M in the top 10 earlier in the season, the
based on what they did in the past 2 years under Manziel, completely different quarterback.
South Carolina. They lost. South Carolina.
Exactly.
They were
nine. South Carolina was nine.
They're the ones gonna take SEC. Get spanked on national television by Texas A&M. SEC, to me personally, it's not competitive. It's weaker. But the problem, though, is you can't name another conference that's better than them.
And that's what
stinks, is because the Pac-12, well, you thought the Pac-12 was going to compete. Well, they took some major L's to begin. Big 10, okay. Big 12. Big 12, Baylor losing to West Virginia really hurt them. And even the TCU game, I believe, hurt them a little bit.
I called the game,
well,
by the way.
You did call that game.
Got myself on the back.
And the ACC is just Florida State and then everybody else. So the problem now is that it's almost like, yes, you want to say everyone's biased to the SEC, but the problem, though, is there's not a conference better than that.
Nobody
SEC.
Else is stepping it up. And there's a lot of parity in the Big 12 and in the Pac-12, which is kind of hurting them to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. There's some parody. So before we head out to break, Ish has some messages for you. And as we head back from break, we're going to talk some NFL and then wrap up